Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we praise you. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's my honor to be in the pulpit here and to give honor to whom honor is due, all the ministers and leaders that are here obeying God. And special thanks to Pastor Hale for inviting me over tonight. Amen. And if it's all right with you, I'd like to read my text from here, and then I'd like to step down there. Look everybody in the eye. Amen. So I don't know if you want me to, when I go down there, whichever mic is best, that's what we'll use. But yeah, let's open up the Word of God for a moment. Amen. I say for a moment to make you feel happy. Amen. And I just hate for preachers to preach very long. You know, it just gets my goat, and they just go a long time. Except when I'm up here preaching. You know. They say that the body can only endure or can only stand what the seat can endure or something like that. Anyway, I got it mixed up. Anyway, I better read my text. First of all, I want to look in the book of Psalms, Psalm 122. Psalm 122. And we've quoted this scripture many times. And quite often I hear your pastor say these words, and I remember Bishop Geddes saying these words many times when he'd come over to visit, and also when we come here. Besides the words, how good and how pleasant it is, you know, we also heard these words, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 1. Verse 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let's say that together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen, amen. And I have some other scriptures. I just want to, you don't have to turn to these, but there's a scripture here that says, what know you not? Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In John the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. And one more scripture. I have several others, but I may or may not get to them. But this should be enough to drive a point home tonight. Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now let us stand. Amen. Amen. I just want to talk about the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. Amen. Would you pray with me that God would help you to receive what God has given me right now? In Jesus' name. Let us pray. Lord, we just ask you now to open our hearts, open our minds, open our will toward you. Help us, Lord, to receive the Word of God. Let me be a channel that you can channel through, and let some ears be open and hearts be able to receive tonight something good, an enduring substance that will last and help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn around and shake hands with two people at least before you're seated. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, my brother. Amen. Bless you. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read one more scripture before I come down there. This is found in 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And one more, Hebrews 3, verse 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Everybody say, whose house we are. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope, firm unto the end. I'm planning to go to heaven someday. How about you? Amen. And I plan to see something there that's going to be called a mansion. Amen. And I believe in front of my mansion, I'm going to have a street of gold. But you know what? There's a whole lot more to the house of the Lord and the tabernacle of God and the mansions that are available to the people of God than just thinking of someday we're going to go to heaven. And that's a great thought, and I don't want to ever lose hold of that. I plan to go to heaven, and someday I do expect to inherit a mansion. But you know what? I don't really understand all of that. I don't really fully comprehend. I don't think anybody else does. If you do, you're way ahead of me, because I keep coming back to nobody really knows a lot about this stuff in the Word of God. Amen. But I keep picking up little bits of information here and there about the house of the Lord. One thing I noticed when Jesus was getting ready to die, he said to his followers something to this effect: destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. Now, they thought he was talking about the temple, the structured temple, the building that had taken a long time to build. But he was talking about something else, wasn't he? Destroy this temple. In other words, he was talking about a house. Sometimes we gather in a place like this, we say, oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And we know what we're talking about. The church building is a church house. The temple is a temple house. The tabernacle is a tabernacle house. Your house is your house. But in this place tonight, I'm seeing the result of something that Jesus was talking about also when he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, I spent a lot of years thinking, he's talking about in heaven, there's going to be a whole lot of mansions. And you know what? I hope he was talking about that, and I think it'll be great, but I don't think that's all there is to it. Why didn't he use the words, in heaven, there are many mansions? In the paradise that's yet awaiting us someday, there will be some great buildings for you to enjoy. But he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You remember the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. You know who Christ is? He is the temple of the living God, the house of the Lord that we can dwell in, but he has it fixed in a way that's still difficult to understand. Because he said to some of his followers, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But then he prayed a prayer and talked about being in us and us being in him as he is in the Father and the Father is in Christ. And I've just been thinking about all this, and it just, you know, it's not some deep theology, it's not anything new, it's just there to be blessed with. It's in the Word of God. Amen. You see, we were just abused children. There are children running up and down these avenues that don't even know who their daddy is. They don't have anything to look forward to. They don't really have any hope in life. They get all their advice, all their instruction, all their help from their friends who don't know where they're going. Amen? Some of them don't have a place to really call home. They just hang out. Just hang out. There are a lot of people in trouble today and getting in trouble. But really, it's unfair, but who knows what to do? Because parents aren't raising their children right. They're not providing a good home. There's much abuse, child abuse, family problems, situations, a lot of things. And we won't go into all that right now. But we all, if you just think about it, in this world, before we discovered what we know, we were being tossed about. Hallelujah. Having problems, not knowing which way to go, not knowing what to do, turning to this one, turning to that one, trying to get relief, trying to get help, trying to get some advice, trying to get somebody that knows something about something, trying to get direction, trying to get a handle on this. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. Then somebody told us about somebody that knocks on the door where you are and says, if you'll let me come in, I will come in and sup with you. Thought about that. Did Jesus mean he wants to come by for a visit? Did he mean by that he'd just like to knock on your door and if you'll open it, he'll come in and visit for a while and just have some good fellowship and go about your way? I believe it's beyond that, because in light of the other scriptures, he says to those that love him and those that are with him, I will never leave you. You know what Jesus does? You know, we have all these programs in the world, adoption programs, agencies, people trying to figure out what to do with all these kids that don't know what to do with each other. Nobody knows. Parents don't know what to do. Kids don't respect their parents. Everything's going crazy. And Jesus said, I see all you folks who are fatherless. I see all you folks who are comfortless. I see all you people who are helpless. But I provided a way to give you a new daddy. I don't want to just come by for a visit. I'm moving in. If you'll open the door that I'm knocking on, I'm knocking on the door of your house. I'm knocking at your door where you live. It's been rough in there, and it doesn't look so good sometimes. Your house needs a new... It just needs a good going over. Yeah. Praise God. Some of us needed a lot of fixing up, didn't we? Yeah. Just think what's going to happen when we open that door. And some of us can testify and already have testified tonight. It happened. I didn't have to go out to some adoption agency and wonder where they're going to place me. I was lost and afraid, hopeless, abused, helpless. Everything was messed up in my life. And somebody knocked on my door. And he said, I'm here to be everything that you've been longing for in your life. Yeah. You ever dreamed of having a rich uncle just leave you everything? This is greater than a rich uncle giving you everything. When Jesus moves in, He says, "All right, let's look around here and see what needs to be fixed. I'm a master of all things, and I can fix whatever goes wrong. No more leaking ceilings. No more running toilets. Praise God. No more abuse. No more confusion. No more wondering, is there any hope? Is there any help?" This coming in to sup with us is more than just sitting down to have a cup of coffee. I'm telling you something. When Jesus came in, He came in to make sure that you never, ever have to feel lonely or lost or confused again. Hallelujah. No wonder we get happy when we go to church. Because not only in Father's house are many mansions, and we can look at that several ways. In heaven, there's a place we're going to abide somewhere in heaven, and it's going to be better than anything we've ever known. So we live in houses down here. I'm sure there's something up there that's even greater than our houses. We only have houses because it's going to, you know, we can dream of something better, because most of our houses leave us with something needed to dream about. I tell you, some people, you know, just the thought of having a better home in heaven someday, it's worth going to church and see if you can get religion. I mean, it's worth trying to see. Wow, anything be better than this dump I'm living in. Yeah. And they talk about mansions, and they talk about... You ever seen some of these rich folks, these big mansions? Some of them, they got homes like at Palm Beach, you know. And I hear about these people who go down there just for a month or two. That's the only time they use their house. It's just... Those little mansions that cost $1.5 million. They live up here somewhere on, Martha's Vineyard or somewhere in a $3 million house part of the time when they're not in California in their $4 million home. But they, you know, it gets a little cold up here in the wintertime, and they don't really have a lot to do except party. So, yeah, let's go relax in our little cabin in Palm Beach. And you know, you can dream big and say, "Man, I'd like to be like that." Well, you can learn how to be, just have everything you want. Just go to the next Amway meeting. Watch some guy up there with holes in his shoes tell you how to get rich. Own a yacht. But I'm talking about something greater than anything in this world has to offer. I love to dream about a mansion in the sky. But what we've got here tonight, folks, is something more than a pie-in-the-sky religion. This is not just a dream someday it's going to happen. We have found something now. Look, you might be looking at this little fat, chubby body from Arkansas, but there's stuff going on in this house right now that you don't know about. There's been some work going on inside of me, and I'm looking at you, and I know you haven't always been as beautiful as you are. There was a time when somebody passed your way and said, "Look at that old run-down house." But something happened. There was a knock on your door. There was a knock on your door. Hallelujah. Some of your parents looked at you when you were young and said, "You're no good. You're no good." Parents should never say that to their children. It has a lasting effect. But a lot of us grew up feeling worthless, feeling no good, feeling nobody cares. And some of us had some rough times in our lives. Some of us have gone through some really strong things that we don't even want to recall. We don't even, think about it anymore. I deal with people being in the ministry and having been around for several years. I deal with people a lot. I see things. I hear things. I listen to broken hearts. And I hear them say, "My dad beat me till I was almost dead." And beyond beating, other things that I just don't want to even talk about. Terrible things are going on behind closed doors. And they're calling it home. Praise God. We need somebody to come along and change our situation, don't we? Hallelujah. I found somebody. He knocks on the door and he says, "All right, what do you need? Father? A mother? Sister? A brother? A patch-up mechanic? Somebody can fix your ceiling? Put a new roof on? Fix it so nobody else can get in, give you a good security, so you don't have to worry anymore. No thieves can break in and steal from me since I'm here. Praise God, because I'm bigger than any one of them. Praise God, I can handle them all. Nobody's going to rob you as long as I'm here. Nobody's going to hurt you as long as I'm here. Praise God, I'll be your lawyer. Nobody's going to win a lawsuit against you as long as I'm here. Praise God, I'll be your judge. Hey, you come before me, I'll set you free, even if you're guilty. Because when I get through with you, nobody's going to know what to think. You're going to be as clean and spotless as it gets. Look at you. Look at you. Everybody say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know, we could think, well, that means when we go to church. Well, yeah, it does, but that's not all it means. You know what? If you were not here tonight, this would just be a big building. I mean, you can think of this as a holy building if you want to, and I have nothing against you having all kinds of good memories of things that have happened here and blessings you received, but there's going to be a day that this building will disintegrate. There will come a time when anything that may seem special and dear to you in this place, it won't be here anymore. Amen. This world is going to come to an end someday, and if it doesn't happen in the next 50, 60, 80 years, this building's not going to be what it is 80 years from now. Amen. Unless somebody does a whole lot of maintenance work, and most of you won't be around to do all that maintenance work. Praise God. But I was glad when they said to me tonight, we're going to Newington. I looked forward to these pretty walls, this ceiling. I look forward to hearing this choir. I look forward to seeing your smiling faces. But when I gathered in this place tonight, I saw more than this building here. I saw in the Newington Church there are many mansions. Because when Jesus went to prepare a place for us on that cross, He did a good job. With three nails, He did a good job. He made it possible that wherever He is, there we can be also. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. What is happening here? We are gathering together our mansions of delight. We're coming together as temples of the living God, as tabernacles of the living God. What? No, you're not. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Hey, look, He's not through with me yet. You might still see the outside of what a lot of people think they have seen for a long time. But there's some stuff going on in this house that nobody knows like my Jesus knows. Nobody knows. You don't know like I know. That song gets more meaningful as years go by. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Praise God. There have been some special moments in my life. Special moments. There have been some moments when my daddy sat down with me and my sisters and my mother. We put our hands together. And there were tears in the eyes of my father, and tears in the eyes of my mother. We were all crying. There was a situation. It was a terrible thing that had gone on in our family. Terrible thing in our community, and our family was involved, and we didn't know what to do, which way to turn. This was years ago, and all of us children were depending on mom and dad to know the answers, and they were so hopeless and helpless and walking the floor, and they didn't know what to do. And in the midst of all this confusion, I'm talking about a church family now, people that go to church, pay tithes, and attend regularly and love God, but I don't care who you are, as long as we're in this tabernacle, things are going to happen. You're going to have some pain. You're going to have some struggles. You're going to have some problems to endure. You're going to have some things to go through. I don't care how spiritual you are, you're going to have some things to go through. That's why we need somebody to be there to go through it with us, that knows how to get through it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I remember, as a small child, a young teenager, my dad put his hand on our hands, and he put our hands between his hands. All of our family members, my sisters, my mother, we were all, our hands were together. My father's hand was on top, my father's hand was on the bottom, and we were together at the coffee table in our living room. And my dad started praying, and he started talking to Jesus. Just talking to Jesus. Praise God. Imagine what can happen when you just have a little talk with Jesus. It's a whole lot easier to talk to Him if He's in your house. Hallelujah. He just started saying, Jesus. Now, anybody passing by, they may not have understood what was going on. But I was kneeling at that coffee table, and I had Jesus in my life. My sister Brenda was kneeling at that coffee table. She had Jesus in her life. My mother, Norma, was kneeling at that coffee table. She had Jesus in her life. My daddy, Marvin, was kneeling at that coffee table. He had Jesus in his life. My little sister, Debbie, and Joy were kneeling at that coffee table. And I don't know what they had, but they were made to be there. Amen. 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 Later on, they manifested that they had Jesus in their lives too. Praise God. But he started talking. He didn't say, Rendell, Brenda, Debbie, Joy, Norma, help me find an answer to the situation. In fact, I noticed pretty soon Mama was saying, Jesus, oh Jesus. Daddy was saying, Jesus. Brenda was saying, Jesus. You start saying, Jesus, you know, you may not know what all to say, but that's good enough. Because He's everything you need and a whole lot more. When you don't know how to pray, say, Jesus. When you don't know how to get through it, just call on Jesus. He knew what He was saying when He said, they that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Jesus! Jesus! He's not looking for you to describe everything. You don't even know what everything is. I don't know. Say what you can. Pray what you can think of. Anything you can think of. Oh, there's so many needs. We can't think of them all. Our life gets in so many twisted directions and messes that we don't know how to straighten it out. Praise God. I mean, you just think you got it all fixed and a storm comes by and knocks the whole house down. I'd rather get knocked down with Jesus in me than to get knocked down without Him. And I've been knocked down without Him. And it's a whole lot better to open that door when He knocks and let Him come in. Because you won't go through anything that He won't go through with you. And when you get to the end of the problem, you just say, Jesus. Hallelujah. He'll put it back together again. And the way He operates, over and over, it makes it better than it was before. I told Dana the other day, at first they said he had a mild heart attack. Then I called the hospital and they said he had about 12 heart attacks. And then I finally found out they said he was having about 12 heart attacks a day. He didn't know he was having a heart attack. He thought it was some kind of muscle spasm. Yeah, all the symptoms of a heart attack, but he was in a state of denial, I guess. Can't be me. I can't have a heart attack. They said he had 95% blockage. But they put that little hole in his leg and ran that thing up there and opened it up. Everything, you know, cleared up. But don't be surprised. You find Brother Dana up here running around, jumping and shouting and saying, Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, it's great when you're going down the road and you're about to have that head-on collision to be able to call on the one that knows how to get you through it, pass it, and even if you have it, bring you out of it, okay, and even if you die, you're still going to be all right. Because He's a master over everything. Accidents, sicknesses, even death. Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. You know who the Holy Ghost is? Christ in you. You know who Christ is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know who the Holy Ghost is? Holy Ghost is one that overshadowed the Virgin Mary. She brought forth a son, called His name Jesus. You know who the Holy Ghost is? Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is God. Look! When you get Jesus in your life, when you get the Holy Ghost in your life, you've got the Creator that made everything living in your house. The one that made the stars is living in your house. Hallelujah. I will be in you. You will be in me. He's not talking about an ordinary relationship. We talk about, I want to be close to you. I want you to be close to me. I feel so close to you. But we can't do it like God does it. He says, I don't care what it is you're going through. All I'm asking you to do is be willing to look to Jesus. Praise God sincerely. He's not really interested in hearing about all your filthy sins. He just wants you to repent of them. He already knows. Hey, He knows more about your sins than you do. You know what we need to confess once we start repenting? We need to just, you know, once we said, I'm a sinner, I'm a low-down, rotten sinner, let that cover a multitude of sins, because it can. We're all just, without God, we're just sinners. We were raised by sinners. Our daddies and mamas were sinners. Our brothers and sisters are sinners. Our neighbors are sinners. Our school teachers are sinners. Everything in life that seemed to be an opportunity was presented to us by sinners. No wonder we were in such a mess when Jesus knocked on the door. And He knows every step we've ever taken because He's God. He knows where we've been, what we've been through, what put us there, and what it will take to get us straightened out because He's God. Hey, He can take us and tear us all to pieces and still make it come out good because He's God. He's able to take what He has created, break it apart, and then fix it again and make it strong. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I didn't really fully comprehend and probably still don't today when I wrote a theme in my freshman class in college at the university. It got me an A for that semester, that one theme in freshman comp. Amen. The teacher had asked us to write on the subject, the greatest friend I know. Hey, she shouldn't ask me if she didn't want to hear about Jesus. Praise God. Ain't no friend like Jesus. Ain't no friend like Jesus. Praise God. And so I started it out, the greatest friend I know. I needed a good grade. I went to college on probation. I had a D minus average in English. And Arkansas State University, the dean called me in. He said, you're either a moron or a fool. He didn't leave much in between. And I had taken that test, you know, to get you in school. And that's what he was upset about. I thought the questions were silly, so I answered them with silly answers. He said, you don't mess around with these tests, bud. I said, well, you want me to give me a test? Give me something that makes sense. This stuff don't make sense. He said, we're trying to find out if you got some sense. He said, you're on probation, Bubba. He said, you don't come up with at least a C average this semester, you're out of here. We don't want our college embarrassed by the likes of you. They gave me a scholarship to go there. Music scholarship. You know what he did? He had the nerve to take his glasses like this and look across that desk at me, and he said, "There's more to life than music." He said, "Oh yeah, you got a flair in music." He said, "Yeah, you shot right off the chart." He said, "You got serious when we asked you questions about music, but," he said, "you goofed off on everything else." He says, "That mean you always goof off?" He didn't make me feel happy. Then he sent me to the head of the music department, Dr. Haskell. He was quite old at that time. I don't even know why they still let him teach. He was so old, and he'd already gotten to where he couldn't remember anything at all. In fact, he forgot what he had taught us the day before. He taught us the same lesson over and over every day. Same page, same book. Every day. Stood up there, walking back and forth, and now, this is a whole note. And 4/4 time gets 4 beats in a measure. Remember that. Now, he'd already been teaching it for about 3 weeks. Same words every day. Remember that. It was called Music Appreciation Class. I was there to major in music, and I wanted to move forward because they had discovered me. They had discovered me. Somebody had put my picture in the paper. Found out I was writing all this music for this church group, and I had like a big band in our church, and I was just 16 years old and writing all this orchestration out, and somebody discovered it, and they sent some heads of the music department over there and said, "We want to offer you a scholarship, a music scholarship." And I rejoiced, and our whole church got excited. Everybody got excited. But I wasn't too excited when I went to see that man they called the dean. Then he sent me over to Dr. Haskell, and he was worse than the dean. He seemingly forgot everything he knew when it came to teaching us that lesson. He taught it every day. But he sure didn't forget how to make you feel like you're as low down as you can get. When Dr. Haskell got through with me, I didn't even want to live. He said, "How dare you come here and disgrace our music department?" And then the band director. He had allowed me to write a march for the band called Go Big Red. They used it for a fight song on the football team, everything. And everybody was excited because this freshman did that. But Donald Meeks, my band director, who was my hero up till this time, said, "Wren, I'm ashamed of you." And he used some four-letter words that my daddy taught me was a sin to say. And I told him, I said, "Mr. Minx, that offends me." He said, "You offend me more than I ever could offend you." And he let out a bunch of them, just rolled out of his mouth. I didn't think anybody could talk so nasty. And I looked up to this man. The more I tried to say we shouldn't talk like that, the more he talked like that. I couldn't make it better, so I just had to shut my mouth. Then he made me do push-ups. Brother Philip in our church, I mean, back there, he can get down this floor. He just don't even get out of breath. It's on and on and on. It takes me a long time to get up off the floor one time. "You're going to do push-ups." And he made me do it in front of the whole band. That whole band that played my march. And he wouldn't start the band until I did at least 3. Wouldn't start class. I found out that in the higher institutions of learning, I don't care how much education they got, how much they've gone and learned and done all kinds of things to get what they've got and be what they are, there ain't nobody like Jesus. Ain't nobody like Jesus. I thought before the semester ended I was going to die. But that freshman comp teacher, oh my, when she gave me that opportunity, Write a theme, boys and girls, about the greatest friend I know. Started off with, he's so great, he holds the world in the palm of his hand. Yet so small, he can live in the heart of a man. It's a mystery, a great mystery, but oh, so true. For there is nothing that my friend can't do. I got those words from Shirley Bivens at the time, who was the accordion player for a group called the Gospel Echoes, and I was playing with them at that time and helping. They later became known as the Singing Rambos, and I was helping Dottie Rambo write songs and playing music and traveling around with them a little bit, and she wrote that song, "There's Nothing My God Can't Do." And I knew none of those sinners at that college knew anything about that song, so they thought it was original. Amen. He's so great. He holds the world in the palm of his hand. Yet so small, he can live in you. He can live in you. Hallelujah. Would you praise him right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm going to close in a minute, but we're going to have a mansion meeting. Amen. We're going to get all our houses together in a moment. Amen. And we want to thank the one that moved in and helped us. Praise God. Aren't you thankful that you got somebody living with you that's able to do what you need him to do all the time, anytime? It doesn't matter what it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that freshman comp teacher, she had us to pass our papers around. She had us pass them again. And she said, "Now, students, read the theme that you have in your hand." And so we all read. And she said, "Now, if you think you have an outstanding theme, raise your hand and bring it up to me." And this little girl, sitting over about three desks, a young lady, raised her hand. And I didn't know who had mine. And when my teacher picked it up, started reading it aloud, and my heart started beating fast. She stood there. This college teacher started reading my words. This fool's words. This idiot's words. This feeling so low I could crawl with worms words. I felt so bad until this opportunity came just to express myself, because I had received the Holy Ghost. And I knew I had a hold of something better than anything those people knew about. Praise God. When she started reading that, she got about a third through it, and some big old tears were coming down her face. Big old tears. She couldn't get all the way through it. Her mouth struggled. She said, excuse me. It's something how the just words about Jesus can touch a heart. Praise God, can touch a heart. She read that, and I looked around, and I saw some of the other students. Tears in their eyes. And when she got through, I was a hero. You know who did that for me? Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. The word spread. The word spread. Next thing you know, here I have better than a C average on my report card. Everybody's wanting to be my friend. The dean calls me in. And he sits down, he says, "You made it, son, we're glad to have you here." Dr. Haskell forgot that we ever had a meeting, so it worked out fine in his class. Praise God. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. When he went to prepare a place for us, he made it possible that in this place where he is, we can be there also. Isn't it great to be with Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. We're made to sit together in heavenly places. Mighty God, mighty God. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, look them in the eye, and say, "It's great to be at home." Amen. It's great to be home. I think I want to sing a song. I learned this when I was a kid. I don't know if I remember it or not. I heard it on the Grand Ole Opry. Nashville, Tennessee, laying in my bed. About 12 years old. Turned on that little radio. I don't know how I kept burning the house down. That little radio would get hot. It was one of those tube-type radios. And I slept with it right up against my ear at night. You know, those hot tubes in it on my sheets. Because I like a little bit of country and I like a little bit of this and that. You know, back in those days, I loved country music. And so, anyway, I heard this song. This old house. You ever heard that song? I don't even know if I remember or not. I ain't gonna need this house no longer. I ain't gonna need this house no more. I ain't got time to fix the shingles. I ain't got time to fix the door. I ain't got time to all the hinges nor to mend the window pane. I ain't gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the saints. Woo! I ain't sung that song since I was 12 years old, folks, and it still sounds as good as it did then. My sister, my dad complained one day, said, Joy, you're singing through your nose. Now stop singing through your nose. And she said, Daddy, I'm not singing through my nose. I hold my nose and sing, and it sounds the same. We're home, right? Amen. There's things goes on in these houses. And you got Jesus in your house. There are good things that go on. Just sitting around talking to your Heavenly Father. Praise God. You open up the book. It's not just a book. It's not just a dusty old family Bible lying there. Hey, there's something in this book. And you start to read and you realize the one that wrote it is sitting there with you. And he says, I bought your house. And I ain't going to leave. And if you'll stay with me, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. You're bought with a price. You're not your own now. You belong to Jesus. Praise Him. Everybody praise Jesus tonight. Praise Him. Hallelujah. I praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Jesus. 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 Amen. I don't think I left anything out. Just one scripture here. If it's all right with Pastor Hale, let's all come around the front. Amen. Just come around the front. We want to call on Jesus. Amen. I just feel good in my soul. It's something about giving glory to God. Something about giving honor to God. It lifts you up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. Amen. The translators in the King James Version put the word men. I will draw all men unto me. And it still means the same. He'll draw people, humanity, unto Himself. But you know, they lifted Him up. And they put Him on that cross. And He is drawing all unto Himself. And this feeling that we feel, being lifted up, that's just Jesus. That's just Jesus doing what He said He would do. If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Now here's what Jesus does when He comes in, when He's going through His house, His temple, His building. When He's going through there and He sees something He doesn't like, we got a physical example in the Word of God of how He operates. And Jesus went into the temple of God. He cast all them that sold and bought in the temple, cast them all out. He overthrew the tables, the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And He said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. If your house is His house, it needs to be a house of prayer. Praise God. It needs to be a house of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. He's not just talking about that temple in Jerusalem. Wherever it is that He calls His house, it needs to be called a house of prayer. It's not going to be called a house of prayer if you don't pray. Hallelujah! My house is to be called a house of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? When we pray, He says in our house, that is His house now, ask what you will. Daddy's here. Ask what you will. Something greater than the richest uncle you ever could dream of is right here with you right now, living here and owning everything you've got. Ask what you will. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Ask Him. Ask Him. He's not afraid. If you're not afraid, He's not ashamed. If you're not ashamed, He won't withhold from you if you will ask Him. What do you have need of? Ask and you shall receive. What a comfort it is. No wonder He said, I will send you a comforter. The Holy Ghost will come to you in My name. Hallelujah! Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for Jesus. Praise God. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what you need. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's in your mind. I don't know what kind of day you had. I know this is going to end pretty soon. I'm going to get out of the way before you end it for me. But I just want you to know one more time. One more time. Praise God. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy the many mansions in My Father's house. We're here right now. We're here right now. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. A place for you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. It's going to be great in heaven someday. But don't forget about the house you're living in now. Let's praise the Lord today. Let's glorify His name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah to the Lord! Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, Jesus. 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 What a mighty God we serve. Thank You, Jesus. Around that coffee table that night, my dad said, Jesus. Mom said, Jesus. Brenda said, Jesus. Debbie and Joy said, Jesus. I said, Jesus. And we all just started saying Jesus over and over. Jesus. 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 And the next day, the problem was resolved. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus does. Praise God. Bless you, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. Thank You, Jesus. 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 Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus,
Jesus. Well, we're talking to Jesus, and Jesus is doing a work. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Hallelujah. I believe we're going to have somebody baptized in the name of Jesus. What a lovely name. What a lovely name. Amen. Hey, there might be somebody else who'd like to be baptized. Now we're going to do it. Let's just go for it. Is there anybody else that thought about it? You come out with Jesus inside your house. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you what, it felt so good to let Jesus in my life. If He had put in His Word, just hinted, that you need to be baptized every time you want to feel better, I think I'd just go get in the water myself right now. How many of you have been baptized in Jesus' name? Wasn't it great? Isn't it great? It's a continuation baptism. We went down in the water one time, but the baptism is still taking an effect right now. Hallelujah. It's something that just... I'm baptized in Jesus' name tonight. Oh my, how good it is. Praise God. Amen. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all. In the name of your mother-in-law? No. In the name of one of the titles of the Lord? No. Those titles are great. We're glad they're there. But there's one name given among men whereby we must be saved. Does anybody know what that name is? Only one name. The name is not Father. The name is not Son. The name is not Holy Ghost. Amen. Those are good titles, and God is our Father. Amen. And Jesus is the Son of God, and the Holy Ghost is the power of God in our lives. But if you want to get baptized right, there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If Acts 2:38 wasn't in the Bible, that's all you need. There's only one name. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good. Take me to the water.
Take me to the water.
Sing it.
To be baptized in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, to be baptized. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, to be baptized.
This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house, that's the part I was coming to, of Israel. And guess what? We've been grafted into this. Let all the house of God know assuredly that God hath made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, say it with me, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Take me to the water. Take me to the water. Take me to the water to be baptized. Hey! Hallelujah! Thank you.